Greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a privilege to be in the house of God this morning to worship. Worship can take place other places, but there is a place in my heart of a desire to be in the house of God. And so this morning, we're here to share in this worship service as we turn our hearts, our minds, our affection to our Lord Jesus. Here this morning to share with you from the scriptures, from the Word of God, a message. It was not in my plan to be here this morning. And I came over here to do a job, to work for Jake Krupp out here in one of his sheds to make some roofing metal. So I'm standing here this morning unprepared, you might say, in appearance. Young men, I'm not drifting. I'm standing here without a plain coat this morning. You know that. My mother sitting here looking at me says, "What's happened to him now?" Yeah. I came on Monday, figured to be home by Friday, 3 days of work. So I didn't bring any Sunday clothes along. I was dressed down. I was not dressed up. So I had to come this morning. I said, yes. If I need to have my plain coat on so I can preach, I guess that's a problem that I have. And I'm not going to do that. I said it to Gerald. I said, no. If I can't preach the scriptures without having a suit on, I guess there's a problem in my life. So I said, yeah, I'll preach. But one thing, there's several things in that can change. If no steel comes this week, I'm heading home and I won't preach for you. But your house is full of sickness, and if I get sick before Sunday, I won't be preaching for you. But barring that, why, I will. Needless to say, the steel came Friday noon. I haven't got sick, so I'm here standing before you this morning to preach. Trust you'll bear with me. It's true. I don't feel dressed up. So young men, I'm not being cool, although I am cool. My hands are cold, not because of the coat, but because of the nervousness of the platform. That's all right. I'm here to share with you the message this morning. And I'd like to speak this morning on a subject that I have found that the Scriptures talks a lot of, and yet we maybe kind of pass it up and don't really bring it out. 1 Corinthians 1:18 is a verse I'm going to refer to, and then I'll go on to others here. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God." So if you're sitting here this morning, and I'm going to preach about the cross that you bear, the cross of Christ. I'm going to preach about the cross, but if the preaching of the cross to you seems foolish, then beware, because your heart is not where God wants it. The preaching of the cross is to you foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. And I thank God for His power through the cross. Not that I appreciate, I shouldn't say that way, I appreciate the cross. Not that the cross seems to be such a glamorous thing to look forward to, because the cross is a heavy thing. But we have four Gospels, and three of the Gospel writers referred to this same thought. Matthew 16:24-26. Matthew 16:24-26 says this. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then over also in Matthew 10:38, he says it this way, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Mark 8, same words pretty much. Mark 8, verse 34. "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. And then Luke has the same thing, maybe one or so words different there. And that's the emphasis I want to bring out this morning to you. Luke 9, verse 23 says this. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said here to take up your cross daily and follow him. I would like to have you think with me just a little bit of the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ hung on the Roman cross. The Roman cross was a symbol of shame. It was the worst type of death you could possibly give to a murderer, to someone who was a criminal. It was the worst type of death. Why did they assign that to the Lord Jesus Christ? They wanted to get rid of him in shame. They wanted to put him down. And so they hung him on a cross, the cross of shame. The cross is also an instrument of death. It portrays death. It's where people die. It's a painful death. It's not a glamorous thing. All the disciples forsake him and fled when he hung on the cross. He was dying. Instrument of death. But you know, we today are called by these scriptures that I just read, that if we don't take up our cross daily and follow him, we cannot be his disciple. Where does that affect you? So I'm going to look at some things here that affect us. Back in 1965, written in my mother-in-law's Bible, back in 1965, Moses Baer made the quote. He said, where man's will conflicts with God's will, that is what constitutes the cross. When man's will conflicts with God's will, that's what constitutes the cross. And that's exactly right. We have a will, God has a plan. And when our will hits that plan, what do we do with it? We must die to self to accept that cross. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus died a physical death, and we need to separate today some of the physical and some of the spiritual. Because the death that we die is not a physical death. But if you do not die, you cannot be a partaker of his spiritual life. The spiritual death is the first and most important. The spirit. What do we talk about when we talk about the soul? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what the scripture says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You say, well, we talk about that a little bit about works. This body can do most anything it wants to. It doesn't have any effect on the soul. The soul. I don't believe that statement. I believe that the soul and the body and the spirit are one. They are tied together, which are very hard to separate. But we can separate them out. And the soul is the part of man that has a will, it has an emotion, and a mind. That is the soul. So this morning, the soul of man is the one that is going to have to die. The soul of man is the one that has to take up the cross. It is your emotion, it is your will, and it is your mind. We live in such a terrible world today where the mind is played with in so many ways. There are people who can live in a world of fantasy, fantasizing. That's in their mind. Their body is perfectly sinless, they say. No, it is, to a point. But what the mind is, so also the body will be. And so where your mind dwells, what you're dwelling on, is going to take you where it thinks. Now, bring about your mind into death. The suffering, the cross of suffering, Jesus wants us to know that the road that he will lead us on is not an easy road. Do you think it is? Do you think the Christian life is an easy life? Just become a Christian. Yes. Christ would have you know that unless you die with your will, you are not on his road. The carnal mind cannot grasp the truth that death is gain. That doesn't make sense. You can't reason that out, that death is gain. You say, if I die, that's the end. And that's exactly right. Death is a loss. You lose a loved one. You lose someone in death. That is carnal. That is only flesh. That is only this body. The spiritual mind accepts the scriptures because they are spirit and they are life. And so there's a difference then. Now we're talking about not the body but the soul. And the soul is the part that is going to carry the drive, the emotions, carries the will, strong desire. Carnal says, live to die. That's what we're for. Just as well enjoy life. We're going to die. We're going to lose it. Live to die. That's carnal. Fight to live. Carnal. Life is all important. Spiritual says, die to live. What sense does that make? Die to live. John 12:24. John 12:24. I remember my father-in-law using this in a summer Bible school theme. You say, how would that ever fit there? But that's what he used. John 12, verse 24 to 26. It's not quite the words I had there. 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Do you believe that? Jesus often said in the scriptures that if you're going to come after me, you are going to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And that means to die to self. And so when he says that this corn of wheat, except it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Is that a paradox? Does it sound right? You can lay a corn of wheat, a kernel of corn or a kernel of wheat on there. Laid on the windowsill, perfectly good, it's a nice shape, sits there month after month, it doesn't change. It cannot reproduce of itself. There it lays. Christ says if that kernel will fall into the ground and die, it will bring forth fruit. But if it does not fall into the ground and die, it cannot bear fruit. And he's saying, that's how it is for you. You need to be as this kernel of wheat to fall on the ground, and there you receive moisture, and you receive the decaying of this body, that new life might come forth and bear fruit, it says. Natural man says, hold on to that life. Enjoy life while you have it. Fight, kill, destroy others. Selfish person. Selfishness will cause this, and it will bring utter destruction. But if you are going to lose your life, lose ground, lose honor, lose fame in this life, for the cause of Christ, you can keep life unto life eternal. Appreciated the Sunday school lesson, the thought of Abraham there, and the thought of obedience was what I thought would fit well. Abraham's faith led him to obedience, and that's exactly what we are called in this life of the Christian, is to come after me. We are not ashamed of the requirements. Abraham could have said, this is unreasonable. Human reasoning would have said, if you give me a son at my age 100 years old and you say this is a son of promise, I know that taking a knife to my son is not your will. God said, you take your son, your only son, and go to that mountain, and there you offer him, and there you sacrifice him. He took the fire, he took the wood, he took the son, and the son says, Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide. Took Abraham to the farthest they could take him, where he bound the son, put him on the altar, where he raised the knife and ready to slay his son. And his hand was stayed by the voice of God. And the reason it was stayed, he knew he could lead him to the last point. He knew Abraham, but he wanted to prove him, to test him. And so he took him to the maximum. And there he said, hold thy hand. Don't destroy the lad. Abraham was familiar with obedience. So today when you are asked to do something for God, and you start reasoning, I don't have my suit coat on. Or you start reasoning, it doesn't matter here. Are you ashamed of the requirements of God? Are you ashamed? In 1 Peter, he's referring to this as a strange thing. 1 Peter 4 says, think it not strange. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Thought of that as David was sharing that about chastisements. Everything that God does for us, we are to give thanks. Give thanks to everything. And you say, I can't. How can God do this to me and I give thanks? How can you punish your child? The child doesn't turn around and say thank you, very rarely. But on the other hand, the child is appreciative of that correction as he matures. And so as God leads you and takes you and brings you into growth with him, maybe you don't see it at the time that the chastisement is good. But give God time to work with you. You want time. You say, I want to grow. And then allow him to work. So don't think that these sufferings are strange. It says here, to think it not strange. Suffering for the word, that brings joy and contentment. It brings it. Maybe it doesn't happen right then. But continue on with God. The cost may be great. Death is natural. It's an end. But in the spiritual, it's the beginning. But this death is something we need to reckon with daily. Not finished. It is not finished until we leave this body. We like to think we could develop. You look at me and say, oh, he's an old man. Yeah, young man. I'm an old man. Ha! I'm not an old man. Yeah, you are. Your hair is gray. You look just old. I don't feel old. I didn't think I changed that much. Yes. The trials are still here for me today. I am tempted. I am tested. And I am given opportunity to let God prove things. This week was a trying time. That battle didn't come. Promised me a month ago. It'll be there. Production date is I forget what date it was. It was last week sometime. It'll be ready by Friday. I said, well, fine. Make sure it's there Monday. No problem. Monday came, we get a phone call on my way over saying the steel didn't show up today. Well, call a supplier. Yeah, it'll be there Tuesday. Call Tuesday to find out where it's at. It's not finished making yet. It's still in production. It needs to be painted and slipped, and it'll be on its way. Call Wednesday. The truck is getting loaded. He'll be there. I'll give you a firm quote time on Wednesday morning. The supplier didn't call till noon. Call him, and he says, the truck is broke down. Okay. But we're getting another one lined up Thursday. Thursday came, call, that truck didn't work out. I said, well, we got to find something here. Let's see, what can we do? Well, I'm looking for another truck. I'll find you another one. Call Thursday afternoon. We've got a truckload ready to pick it up. They'll pick it up Friday afternoon. It'll be delivered Monday. I was here to work. Tested. Do I dare blow up? Do I dare give a piece of my mind? No, you don't do that. That is not Christian. That is not kind. So I said, well, maybe we can arrange another truck. So I arranged for another truck. Thank you, Elwood. Anyway, we got another truck to come get it, brought it to us Friday. Friday morning, I get a message on my phone from the supplier saying that he has a truck lined up, is going to be picking up it's a trucker out of Springfield, is going to be picking up the load Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I thought I had another truck lined up underneath that. So I called him, and he said, no, I must have something mixed up here, because I thought that was the trucker out of there. But if you got something else lined up, that's fine. As far as I know, that's the only truck that did show up for that load. But it seemed like this week went hard for me. I was tested. He has now asked if I could return a coil to him, because he has a customer that needs a coil of steel real bad. And my response could be, he can wait till next Friday. That's not Christian. No. I need to call him tomorrow morning and say, yes, I have one. You can have. I'll bring it to you. We are tested. And God wants us to develop us and to make us more Christ-like. Break this will. When my will intercepts with God's will, that constitutes the cross, and I need to die to self and take God's way. To take up the cross and follow is hard, but it's a daily thing. Sometimes we get things in our way, and we have ease of appetite. We have things that come easily to us. But that is absolutely contrary to toil and to wearisome and to want for the things of Christ. Whosoever is ashamed of me and of my words, he will be ashamed of us. What are the words we're ashamed of in Christ? Anything? You know, we live in it's to our downfall, but we live in a country which is a Christian nation. I am not ashamed to be a Christian in America. Because it doesn't cost me anything. It costs me very little to be a Christian in America. But you put a Christian over in one of the Muslim countries, and you're either Muslim or Christian, you suddenly find yourself at the odds. But here in America, you can be identified as a Christian and live perfectly unharmed. My Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How much time do you spend in the study of God's word? That is what is going to bring you in conflict with and make a cross, and you're going to have to bear it. I won't study it. Is that a good enough excuse that in this Christian country, where we have the word of God, that we can actually deny ourselves the word rather than deny ourself of self? I don't have time. The Bible says, take time. Holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Are you holy? Well, I don't want to have that pious look, just walk around looking like a preacher. No. How about being a Christian with a a will that is to will the do to do the will of the Father, a will to do His will. We live here in this country, and the Christ is not a despised interest. You can talk to people on the street. They will say they're Christian. They have an interest in Christ. But the test comes, where do you stand? If you will tell a customer, I don't lie. We have a customer comes into the office, and he wants to take an advantage of the taxes, and so he'd like to pay cash for his purchase of maybe $3,000 or $4,000, and he says, I don't want a receipt. My son Glenn said, a guy came in there one time, and he was wanting to do that, and he said, how much can you give me in a discount for cash? He said, you don't have to give me a receipt. It's a cash deal. And Glenn said, I'm still going to record it. And I'm still going to be honest with the government. And so there is no discount for cash. And suddenly when he realized he was kind of caught either being having an advantage from him for paying cash but taking an advantage of the government for not recording it, he was all of a sudden dishonest here. Why do you want honesty over here? And he was embarrassed. No. To lie not is a requirement, is a command that you need to obey. How about to swear? You don't swear, no. But when the form says here, you'll sign this line that you swear to do this and so, to cross it out, this doesn't mean anything. I mean, just leave it there, just as well be there. Wait a minute. Are you afraid to say that you won't swear, but you would affirm? How about respect for the government? Government requires paperwork, paperwork, paperwork. We get tired of that. Permits and permits. I'm building a building right now, and it takes a permit for the state. It takes a permit for the county. It takes a permit for the DEQ, and it takes a permit from the industrial park. All these permits. And then you start doing this, and you need a permit from an engineer to say which way the water is going to run off that property. Respect for the government. And I said, I'm going to do this. I will get all the paperwork. We have no rights. Christians have no rights. We go the second mile. These are things where we are called into cross-bearing. To bear the cross of shame, of reproach, of mockery. Ridiculed for Christian conduct. That's what will come. John 12, verse 5 says this. This was the account of where Mary was anointing the feet of Jesus with this box of alabaster. And he says this, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Didn't he have a legitimate cause? To give to the poor, isn't that what you're required to do? Yes. Can't this woman understand that this could have been sold and given? Yes. Then what are you hollering about? Jesus says this, leave her alone. But he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he carried the bag. So sometimes, ridicule. Mary appreciated the work of that Christ did for her in delivering her from, I think it was her, had the seven devils. And she was doing what she could, and yet she was mocked for it. She was blamed. It didn't stand to reason, according to Judas. But what is done for Christ is worth doing. Dying for the Lord Jesus is an expression in our body. Not in our attitude, not in our spiritual. It's not the tears and the emotions. But God has also given to us deeds to do. Dying to Christ is going the second mile, going beyond the call of duty. In Matthew 25, a lot of part of that chapter, I got to wind this down here. A lot of part of that chapter, he says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. They had visited the sick and fed the poor, relieved the afflicted, the unfortunate. this came because of what Christ had done for him. There were those that didn't see these needs, and they walked by, and Jesus said, "These didn't do it to me." Jesus' teaching sometimes brought struggles in the disciples. His sayings sometimes were hard, and it caused people to turn back. But he wants people to die to self, to dethrone your rights and your will, and take up the cross and follow him. Be obedient to his word. That is the ultimate request. There was a ruler who came to Jesus. Running to Jesus, he kneels down before him and says, "Good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do?" Jesus' response was very simple. "Keep the commandments, and thou shalt live." And he says, "Master, I've kept all these from my youth. What lack I yet?" Jesus didn't have any problem with that, but he just said, "Sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. Take up your cross. Come follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven." What lack I yet? He lacked a willingness. He lacked the willingness to listen and to follow the command that Christ gave him. Christ doesn't ask that of everyone, to sell all that you have and give to the poor. All he did was touch on one spot that he knew was a sore spot for this young man, and he touched his wealth, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The cross was too heavy for him. He would not take it. He turned away. Maybe our cost is somewhat that way. Suffering for Christ. And I have to think, in today's settings, you have people sitting here, we have a nice group. But in this same midst, you might have sisters, you might carry a cross. It may be in a home where the father is not as conscientious, does not carry the clear walk of Christian conduct. And this tender conscience wife has to bear a cross to be able to live under that. And the man could make that so much easier if he would support her tender conscience. It can also happen in the workplace. The boss can come to you and say, "We need you to make a run on Sunday. The truck has to be over there by a certain time Monday, and so you'll have to leave Sunday." What is your attitude toward that situation? Are you afraid to identify with the requirement the Lord Jesus would say to come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? I give you a day of rest that you can refresh yourself spiritually and physically. And you say, "I can't handle that pressure. I've got to go." And the wife might say, "Consider." You say, "I've got to go." And away you go. Where is the cross? How about the fellow workers? I know you men need to work with non-Christians. And maybe they will sneer at you. Maybe they will jeer. Maybe they will mock your Christian conduct, that you would actually forgive somebody and not retaliate, not go out and get a revenge. But you would forbear and you would be kind. And maybe even pray. And to do it in a public way even doesn't hurt. It will strengthen you. You need to look at yourself as God sees you. Don't be ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ and take up that cross. And I'm going to challenge you in this way. You can walk into a department store or into a farm store, and sometimes you'll see big mirrors up there on the sides. And you walk in there and you think everything is nice. You walk down the aisle, you maybe glance at some very worldly, evil things. Nobody sees me. Did you know that oftentimes, it used to be in the past, not so much maybe anymore, there were people sitting behind there observing and watching that there'd be no shoplifting. There are people looking through them mirrors. So, young ladies, when you go to the bathroom at home there and you're getting ready to go to the youth gathering in the evening and it's time to comb your hair and it's time to get ready. And so you go in the mirror and you're standing there getting ready and you're pasting your hair down or up or brown, back, behind, however. Smearing, not makeup, but just stuff to make me look a little nicer. Or maybe you're tempted to fear what he might think of me, and so you're pinching the pimples and you're powdering them and getting things all set up. Recognize that that is a two-sided mirror. I mean, that's a one-sided mirror, and behind that mirror is the face of God watching you do that. Mirrors just reflect what's there, but they're very easy to see through. And so say that God is behind there watching you do all these primping and fashionable things. That's a cross that you need to bear, is to recognize that God sees you everywhere. And be thankful for that cross. Be thankful for that. Examine yourself, because God sees you as you are. Don't hold yourself high. You need to die, dead to sin, alive to God. Is the spirit of pride alive or dead in your life? Do you love praises of men? How do you look? Is that the most important? How about your anger? There's a cross to bear. Something irritates you and somebody does it intentionally to make you mad. Touchy. Resentful. Irritable. Anger does that. How about being self-willed? Just plain stubborn. Just plain not going to. I don't have to. Nobody can make me. How about the fear of what others think? Do you compromise principles sometimes just because you want to impress someone? I can go there. I can do that. And you know your parents don't want you to. You know that God don't want you to. But in order to impress your friends, you go and do that. Ashamed. And God will be ashamed of you. Jealousy. Dishonesty. Unbelief. Religious appearance, but in the heart you're far from him. You lack the power. I think these things need to be cast aside. They need to be put to death. We need to die to self. These cannot be a part of the Christian walk. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There needs to be a death, a crucifixion of the world to me. And so often I see in today's churches where the world is creeping and pushing in. We have standards in our church. And we're trying to review them. And we find a lot of different thoughts on that. Anywhere from one man can say, I need the standard because that's how I grew up and I depend on them. Then the next man will say, I don't need a standard. I'm a standard for my wife. That's all we need. To bring them together, to die to self, to take up the cross and follow Christ, and to take His word and to be obedient to that is required. Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In closing, this verse comes to my mind. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live. In the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If I am crucified with Christ, I die to self, and I am raised with him. Challenge you this morning to die, to take up the cross of God's will to your will, and to serve the Lord with gladness. Shall we kneel for prayer at this time?